Amen. Lots of people are blessed by this ministry every week, and we appreciate him doing this. Well, I'm going to do my best tonight to share a few thoughts with you concerning a man named Isaac. And some stuff here that I think maybe we can relate to our day and time, and some timeless truths, I think, that would help any generation. So will you pray with me right now? God, I just praise you, and I ask you to help me tonight, Lord, to have clarity of thought. And I pray that you will help us, Lord, as hearers, to be good receivers and good hearers of what you have to say to us, Lord. We pray that God may be exalted, that Jesus may be lifted up, and that we may be encouraged, refreshed, and edified, Lord Jesus, and maybe someone's life perspective, Lord, will be affected in a positive way. Maybe, Lord. Just pray, God, that what we do here and what we say from week to week, Lord, is making an eternal difference in lives. Lord, that's our desire. Jesus' name, help us, Lord. Help us, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Genesis chapter number 26, verse number 18 in the NIV. Before we look at this, or before I read it out loud here, let me just say that Abraham is come and gone. Isaac is on the scene. And Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Now, Abraham, of course, was a father of faith. He was called faithful Abraham. Isaac's life, well, Ike wasn't nearly as demonstrative, and he was more of a passive type person than his father Abraham was. He was reliable, but you get the impression from reading his life story that he wasn't really brilliant. There was not a whole lot of flair. He was more of a regular guy in the scheme of things. That's the impression I get from reading about Isaac. He didn't seem to experience adventure either, as did his two famous sons, Jacob and Esau. If you want to read some adventure, get into their stories. I mean, they were always doing something. Trying to kill one another, for instance, you know. Always up to something. The only thing about Isaac really that stands out as being something out of the extraordinary was when he was placed on an altar as a boy, and his father had the knife raised to offer him for a sacrifice when the angel intervened. The thing that strikes me about that particular passage in his life was the willingness of Isaac to be obedient to his earthly father. May God give us a desire to be obedient to our heavenly Father. Can we say amen? And as an adult, Isaac was seemingly just the guy who played an important torch-passing role between his father Abraham and his son Jacob, who was the third of the patriarchs of Israel. Isaac dutifully led a generation as a nomadic chieftain in what is now southern Israel, moving from place to place in that very arid culture. And in his rather brief biblical history, there are many commendable attributes worthy of emulation if we just look for them. We've got to look for them to find them. They don't stand out like Abraham's stood out. Personally, he displayed a godly character. Remember, he was Abraham's son, but he never flaunted it. I like that. I like the spirit of humility in Isaac. He could have really put on the dog, if you want to get in the vernacular. He could have really been a show-off smart aleck, if you please. But he wasn't. He was Abraham's son, but he never did flaunt that. Those who are offspring of great men and women, celebrities, if you please, wealthy tycoons, rarely develop character. Am I right? They rarely develop character if their mom or their dad or their mom and dad are some sort of celebrity or have more money than they ought to. It's just difficult to develop character when you've got everything in the world handed to you on a silver platter. It's hard to do. Now, one would think that being the son of Abraham would have its perks. The Bible says specifically that Abraham was very wealthy, and Genesis 25 and 5 says, "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac." I mean, Isaac became very wealthy in an instant. He got it all. I'd like to lift some truths from that one small segment of biblical history as it pertains to Isaac's rather uneventful life. And we'll look at Genesis 26 and 18 again in the King James Version. "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." I'm going to try to list some truths out of that passage that will maybe help us tonight and maybe be some edification to us. First of all, Isaac digged again. I like that. You say, well, big deal. He got a shovel and digged. Well, let me tell you, he didn't just dig anywhere. Okay? He knew where to dig. Are you with me? He knew where. After all, he should know where to dig because Isaac helped dig those wells which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. So when he went to dig again, he knew where to dig. And you say, what's such a big deal about that? Well, there's a real big deal about that. We've got a generation coming on that they need to know something about what we've been through. They need to know where we have dug some of our wells. They need to know that. Jeremiah 6 and 16 said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Now, I'll grant you this. This technology stuff is going so fast, I just give up on it. I mean, you know, I'm just now getting used to operating email. You know? And then they came out with texting, and I tried my hand at that. I was forced into it. I didn't want to do it, but somebody had kept texting me, and I thought, well, I've got to answer. I've got to respond to this, and so I thought about responding. So I started poking around on that stupid thing like an idiot. And I poked around, and I was hitting the wrong numbers, and I found out that it didn't really mean what it said on the key. That's real smart. If a key says something, it's supposed to be there when you... But it wasn't. It was something else. And I had a bunch of gibberish along the bottom of my screen. And then I tried to back up and undo it and got more gibberish on it. And before it was over, I messed around and accidentally hit the send button. Yeah, that's a start. Got that right, Tony. It's a start. And then they come along with your face, my What is it? What is it? Facebook. Got Facebook now. Facebook, MySpace, Facebook. And now they've got Twitters, and I don't know what all they got. They got more than I want to mess with, I'll promise you that. I'll admit that technology is, it's brought us into an entirely different venue than we've ever been before. If you're having trouble with your computer, ask your 3-year-old granddaughter how to run it, and she'll tell you. And I, you know, I'm not really stretching that. My granddaughter knew how to open up a computer and work a program on it when she was 3 years old. Hartley, my oldest granddaughter. So we're talking to a generation of kids coming along that know stuff that, frankly, I'm never going to know. And let's be honest with you, I'm not real heartbroken about that. I'm just, it just doesn't really tear me up all that much. But there's some things that the younger generation needs to know. And that is, God has not changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. When the power and the presence of God comes moving in a service, we're going to respond because He's still God and we're basically still people. We may be carrying a little plastic box on our side that costs $2,000 and can do everything, including washing the dishes and doing the ironing. But that doesn't make us, we still drink the same water Adam drunk 6,000 years ago. We still bask under the same sunshine they did thousands of years ago. Some things never change. Never, never change. So when we say stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, we're not suggesting that you go back and ride the horse and buggy to church. We're not suggesting that young people do away with all its the gadgets, even though sometimes it might not be a bad idea. What we are saying is this, the old paths, the old ways. We need to realize what has brought us to where we are. Thank God for what has brought us to where we are. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is merit in remembering. Someone said, never tear down a fence until you know why it was put there in the first place. I like that. We've probably got a few fences still standing, you know, that need to be torn down. I'm just being honest. We've got some things that I believed vehemently when I was a kid. I look back on some of the stuff I believed, and you know what? It was not biblical. It was personal preferences, and it was stuff that I could have gone to heaven, you know, doing some of the stuff they said I couldn't do. I don't think God ever sent anybody to hell for having a weenie roast in the park. Now, it's funny, and we're all laughing, but you know what? I remember the night that we did that. Diane, you remember that night? We all went to the park. Helen, Diane, a bunch of us, we all went to the park on Saturday night and had a weenie roast. Well, the next morning we came to church, and everybody was weeping. What has happened to our young people? Those were good folks, mind you. They loved God. But you get my point is simply this. We don't need to carry all the baggage that we've had into our future. We just don't need to do it. Never tear down a fence until you know. Our children deserve to know about some of the valleys we walked through. They deserve to know that. They need to know that we haven't had things handed to us on a silver platter. They need to know that. They need to come to the realization of that we've had some battles along the way. Life hasn't been easy. Some of you people sitting in this room came through the Great Depression, and you didn't know where. And it was, this is not just some kind of phrase, this is reality. You had no idea where you were going to get your next meal. but you stay true to God and do it all. We don't need to forget stuff like that. This generation needs to hear some of the struggles that we've gone through. They need to know that it was by faith that the elders obtained a good report. They need to understand stuff like this. They need to know that the day's coming when they'll have their own battles to fight. And they need to know that the God who brought us through is the same God who can bring them through. Can you say amen? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. You know what I think would be a wonderful idea? Kids, if you really want to have an interesting afternoon, go to some of these old gray-haired people sitting around here in this fellowship that are here every time the doors are open. They have no business getting out on the ice, but some of them will do it anyhow. And they'll be here, and they've been through it. They've been through the trials. Just call some of them up someday and say, could I just come over and sit down and talk with you? Would you mind to tell me some of the things you went through when you were young? Some of the battles you fought? Oh my goodness, what a rich, rich experience that would be. Ask thy father, he will show thee. Psalm 78, verse 1 through 4. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Here again, stuff that our fathers have told us. Yep. Isaac knew where to dig. And he digged again the wells. The water was there. It was still there. Second point to this is there's always going to be somebody trying to stop up your well. It was the Philistines in Isaac's day. There's always somebody ready to stop your well up. Jude, the first four verses says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and denied Jesus Christ, the only sovereign and Lord. Peter writes, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, there were false prophets also among you, among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Paul dealt with this. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. He said, for I know this, after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He wrote to the church in Romans 16, 17, and 18, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 is another reference, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It wasn't only a New Testament issue. Malachi refers to it in chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law in his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And if your preacher isn't the messenger of the Lord of hosts, fire him. Amen. can him. We're to preach the word of God, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and godliness. We're to be shepherds, under shepherds. He is the shepherd. We're to be under shepherds, to love the flock. Dear God, help us. Help us to be faithful to the call of God. Praise the Lord. You know how to keep somebody from stopping your well up? Answers in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you in your good conversation in Christ. Pretty good stuff right there, folks. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. I'm telling you, those who have an experience are never at the mercy of those who only have a theory. Never. Never. If you know the Lord and you know God's word and you're grounded, rooted in the word of God, you're going to be ready to answer. Amen. You may not know exactly the things to say immediately, but I tell you what, I have known, and I don't know, this may be what is called the word of knowledge, I don't know. But there have been times that I have heard myself, and I'm saying this honest to God, I've heard myself responding to people, and I thought, is this me talking? I'm not that smart. How did I know to say that? Wasn't really me saying it. My tongue said it. But it was the Spirit of God living in me, because I had sanctified the Lord God in my heart. You're not going to know the answer to everything that comes along. And by the way, you are not responsible to know some of the answers some of these dumb heads are asking. Where did Cain get his wife? I had a man call me. I was 16 years old. Neighbor down the street called me one day and said, you're a young preacher, ain't you? Yep. My wife and I've been trying to tell her something here. I just love it when men say that. It tells me something about the IQ. It's somewhere along the line of a wilted celery stick that's been taped to a board. I've just been trying to tell my wife a few things here. I want to settle something. I want you to settle it. You're a preacher. I want you to settle it. Where did Cain get his wife? I said, well, I think she was watching television. There's this... No, I didn't say that. I don't know what I told him. It's immaterial what I told him. You don't need to know the answer to everything. Some people get you off and try to trick you up and try to get you all twisted up. And if you know in your heart you're right with Jesus Christ, just walk off and leave them bumping their gums. Don't argue with them. Cast not your pearl before the swine. That's biblical. Somebody named Jesus said that. That's good stuff. Amen. All righty. Third and final point. Don't be ashamed of your heritage. I like this. Oh. Isaac gave the wells the same names his father had given them. That's good. He wasn't ashamed of his heritage. He wasn't ashamed of what his father had done. He wasn't ashamed that his father had dug these, he and his father had dug these wells, and his dad had named these wells. we should not be ashamed of those that have lit the torch and carried the torch and am now in the process of handing the torch to another generation. No one should be ashamed. No one should be ashamed of a godly heritage. Isaac gave the wells. He redug the same names his father had given them. He called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Psalm chapter 119, verse 46 and 47. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Psalm 16, verse 5 and 6, in the other translation, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Thank God for what the old forefathers passed along to us. Thank God for what they gave us. They bequeathed us. Lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. Godly heritage, goodly heritage. I'm not ashamed, ladies and gentlemen, to own that my mother's God is also my God. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed. I know I have a little history. And I look back on it and I'm not ashamed of where I've come from and where I've come to. Not ashamed of it. You know, we have a beautiful edifice here. Isn't this a beautiful place? My wife and I, somebody came by to see the church one day, and we had showed them around out in the foyer a little bit, and they wanted to see the auditorium, and we opened those doors. It was dark in here, and I turned those lights on, and as the lights began to come up, and this full, beautiful place began to be visible, they gasped. It took their breath. Beautiful place. But it didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. It happened because lots of people wanted to pay a price to make it happen. They paid a price in dollars and cents. They paid a price in working long hours. They paid a price. Some of them took vacations. Instead of going somewhere, they were out here every day working. Thank God for the price that has been paid that we can have what we've got right here and right now. Man. Tom Sherrill, I'll always be indebted to you, my brother, for helping me carry my load during that time. Elton Morgan came out here. Got his back wired together, got some kind of electronic device in his back to keep the pain level down from an injury long ago. Came out here and said, I want to help. And I said, oh my God, help us. What's he doing? He can't do this. Come out here and he'd be standing up on the top rung of a ladder, fixing something, welding something, doing something. I tell you, it didn't just happen. Ron McDonald, I shouldn't have started calling names. So many came out to make it happen. Thank the Lord. And we walk in here. Some people walk in here and they don't have the respect for this place that guys that put their blood out here has. I'm thankful. And my old friend Vernon Watson back there, in case you know which don't know which one Vernon is, he's the only man in this house that's got a goatee. Vernon, he's not but 91 years old. Are you 91 yet? 91 years of age. He was just a young kid back when we were working on this. He was in his late 80s. Good Methodist brother. Came out here. He said, you know, I just love to come out here and be around you guys. Y'all have so much fun working on this place. I just wanted to come be a part of it. Vernon, God bless you for being a part of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ladies prepared meals for the workers. It's all, we all work together. Got a godly heritage. I'm glad that people didn't go around looking for excuses. Like little Miss Peggy Ann McKay. You ever heard of Peggy Ann McKay? I didn't think so. You're fixing to. I have the measles and the mumps, a gash, a rash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet, my throat is dry, I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks, I've counted 16 chicken pox. There's one more, that's 17, and don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut, my eyes are blue, it might be instomatic flu. I cough and sneeze and gasp and choke. I'm sure that my left leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin. My belly button's caving in. My back is wrenched. My ankle sprained. My appendix pains each time it rains. My nose is cold. My toes are numb. I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff. My spine is weak. I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth. I think my hair is falling out. My elbow's bent, my spine ain't straight, my brain is shrunk, I cannot hear, there is a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail and my heart is, what? What's that? What's that you say? You say today is Saturday. Goodbye, I'm going out to play. Oh, boy. Excuses, excuses. We have a godly heritage. We have a godly heritage. Thank God for a godly heritage. Thank God that somebody was willing to pay the price so we could have what we have. Thank God that there are missionaries willing to leave the comforts of home and the safety and all of the amenities of being around family and go across. And thank God for those who are willing to let them go across. Parents, grandparents, they pay a price too. Do they not? May I just say to you that God is a faithful God. He is faithful. He is on His throne. I've never seen a 21-gun salute just because a fruit tree produced some fruit. No banners waving, no parades, no ticker tape, but the tree just keeps on faithfully producing good fruit. Faithfulness doesn't rise and fall with opinion polls. It isn't indexed to the Dow Jones. Faithfulness is faithful because that's what God wants faithfulness to be, is faithful. On that day, it's not going to be, well done, thou well endowed servant. No. It's not going to be, I'm so proud of you, come on into heaven. You were so wealthy when you were on earth. I'm impressed. It's not going to be, come on, you had so much talent. It's unbelievable. Come on in. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what it's going to be. That's what I'm longing to hear. Good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I remember growing up in Marlow, and of course now we go out to our back door and out to the alley and sit in chairs to watch this. But when I was a kid growing up, July the 4th, a big day in my hometown of Marlow, we'd go over to Redbud Park. That night there would be a gigantic fireworks display. Oh my goodness, it would be something else. Thousands of people would converge on that little park and mill around and attend the carnival, waiting for dark and the fireworks. It'd be somebody playing and singing. This was about 1964, I guess, when it was, when I think the Oak Ridge Boys made the song Jesus is Coming Soon popular. Remember that? Jesus is Coming Soon. They had a gospel group over there. I had Glenna hoisted on my shoulders, and they sing Jesus is Coming Soon, and Glenna started singing with them, and she outperformed them. Those were special days. July the 4th in Redbud Park. And then on a given signal, the fireworks would start. The whole heavens would be lit up. The oohs and the ahs of the crowd would express their approval. And for maybe 30 minutes or so, there would be a terrific show, usually ending with a spectacular aerial display. But then the sky would grow dark. The crowds would go home. But guess what? After the show was over, the old stars would still be shining. They didn't go anywhere. They were still there. And let me tell you this, friend. No matter how dark the night may seem, there's a star shining somewhere. No matter how dark it gets in your life, you remain faithful to God. God honors faithfulness. He honors faithfulness. I hope and pray to God that you and I, in our time in our life, will turn the reins of a church over when that time comes to those who know what their heritage is. Those who respect the things of God. I hope the generation coming on knows what the altars are for. Knows how to pray. How to seek God. How to honor God's word. We got time for everything else. I hope our generation knows to read the book. To look into the book and read it. To stand on its promise. I hope that happens. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Can I end the service a little different tonight? I tell you what, I love our kids. I thank God for them. But I tell you how I'd like to end this service tonight. It's a little bit different. But I'd like for you kids, if you would you cooperate with me on this? Some of the kids are scattered around different places in the church. The biggest bulk of them are over here. But I'd like for you just to stand. Every teenager here, stand. Will you right now? Just stand up. Every teenager in this room, stand. God bless you. You're coming on. You're not far down the road from being the church. We call you the church of tomorrow, but you're the church of today, really. You're our hope for tomorrow. I'd like for you guys to just look around across this audience tonight. And I'd like you to feel free to just leave your seat where you are and just walk around, you kids, and find some older person to just sit down with and just take their hand and just have a special prayer and ask God's blessing upon them. Sponsors, you join this, will you? Feel free to join this. Will you do that? Amen. Cheryl, where are you at? Come and give us some music to just put us in the frame of, of wanting to pray one for another. Come on, guys. Step out and find somebody. You older people, just sit still. Just sit where you are. But the younger ones are going to find somebody to sit by, and they're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for each other. And as they pray for you, older person, you pray for them. Share a prayer. Share a time of prayer. That's right. That's right. You're doing great. You're doing beautiful. Vernon, you got a prayer partner there, bud. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you guys are doing good. Nick, find somebody, buddy. There you go, bud. Good. Amen. There you go. Down here. Praise the Lord. Now, those of you that are not quite that young, you got a few more years left. Find you somebody that's older than you. Slip over where they are. And if a 70-year-old comes up here to pray with me, I'll put you in order. Find somebody. Come on, let's move around and gather. You're moving. It's good. Find somebody to pray with. Plenty of our precious older people are sitting here, and they would be delighted to just join hands with you and pray with you. God bless you. This is so beautiful. Oh, my Jesus, my Lord.
Jesus.
My Jesus. Nobody's sitting beside you. Pray one for another. Just pray for the person in the pew next to you. Pray for each other. Sing it, Jesus. Sing it, Jesus. Sing it.
Oh,
oh Jesus. Let's stand together tonight. Let's lift his name. Oh, thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight in a maybe a little bit different way, but you've spoken nonetheless. Thank you for the presence of God in this place, for the singing, the worship that has gone into singing Jesus. I ask your blessings, Lord, upon these dear people in the days to come. I pray, Father God, that you would continue to move in our midst. We want to pray and lift up our children that are at kids' camp. Let this be a tremendous, dynamic week in their lives, God. Fill them with your Spirit. Speak to their young and tender hearts in ways that will affect them in a positive way for the rest of their lives. Bless those who are down there with them as counselors. Give them strength, blessings in their ministry to these kids. Father, I pray that you will let this fragrance of the Spirit of God linger in our memory in days to come. Bless your church. As we leave this place to go out of this building to become the church in this city, may we be blessed of you and anointed of you. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, amen. May God bless you. Fellowship one another tonight. Peace be yours.